As sports history fans, we often reminisce about the legends. Willis Reed limping on to the NBA Finals court, Curt Schilling's bloody sock, Kerry Strug's courageous dismount, and so many more. These moments often define sports history. But what about the countless injuries that did not become legends, or careers that were derailed due to inadequate care? That's where this episode's sponsor comes in. Introducing to you, ILP Sports Consultants, your trusted sports injury partner, available 24/7. Brian Maielli at ILP Sports Consultants has over 20 years of experience in the orthopedic and sports medicine industry, and he has worked with athletes across the gamut, from youth to amateurs, professionals, in almost every sport played in the United States of America, accommodating athletes at every stage of their career. This adaptability ensures that ILP services are perfectly tailored to your skill level, no matter where you are in your athletic journey. With ILP, you are in control. Choose the steps that matter most to you: diagnosis, treatment plan, recovery, or the whole journey. ILP services are tailored to your unique needs. Rushing for care is a common pitfall, leading to future problems. ILP Sports Consultants helps you make the right decisions, ensuring that you receive timely and safe care. And here's a bonus. Brian hosts the Injured List podcast, sharing insights and athlete stories you won't want to miss. Whether you're a concerned parent or grandparent, or an athlete yourself seeking guidance, ILP Sports Consultants is your beacon of hope in sports injury management. Visit ilpsports.com today. That's the letters ilpsports.com. ILP Sports Consultants, where your well-being is the priority and your recovery is the mission. Choose ILP Sports Consultants for a healthier sports journey, helping you get back in the game the smart way.
To be a great player, you know you have to have dedication. And one of our Hall of Fame birthday players for today, of this January 13th, was so dedicated that he changed the entire style of play that he did just for his coach's desires. We'll talk about him and more stories in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Nuff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and thank you once again for joining us on your football history headlines and birthdays of Hall of Famers on the Pigskin Dispatch Daily Podcast. And today our headlines start us back at January 13th, 1957, at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. The NFL held its 7th annual Pro Bowl game, and it was the All-Stars of the Western Conference who overcame the challenge of their Eastern Conference rivals 19-10 on the scoreboard. The most valuable player on the defensive side was Pittsburgh's Ernie Stotner, a defensive tackle, and Baltimore Colt Bert Rechichar, a kicker who won the award for the MVP of the offense. January 13, 1958, the NCAA adds a two-point conversion to football scoring. Despite the play used in college ball, according to a Live About website, it was not immediately adapted into professional football. In fact, the two-point conversion rule was not adopted in the NFL until the year 1994. The professional levels of football did tinker with the two-point play prior to 1994, though. According to the American Football Database, the AFL used the conversion tactic in its 10 years of existence in the 1960s. The NFL Europe and its reincarnation, the World League of American Football, adopted the rule, were probably further testing ground prior to being in the NFL's adoption. It really added some interesting dynamics to contests, as formulas and charts have been famously made to determine when a team should go for two. The success of the two-point try has been reported to be anywhere from 40% to 55% of accomplishment. So there's plenty of a risk and reward aspect to going for two. January 13th, 1963, at Balboa Stadium in San Diego, California, the second AFL All-Star game was played. And in the contest, it was the Western Division All-Stars who edged their Eastern Division counterparts 21-14. The MVPs of the game were Dallas Texans running back Curtis McClinton and Earl Fison, who played defensive end for the Chargers. Interestingly enough, on January 13, 1963, the exact same day as the AFL's All-Star Game, the annual NFL Pro Bowl game was played at Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum once again. The NFL Eastern Conference outscored the Western Conference Pro Bowlers 30-20. The offensive most valuable player was running back Jim Brown of the Cleveland Browns, while the MVP of the defense was Pittsburgh's defensive tackle Eugene Lipscomb. January 13, 1974, at Rice Stadium in Houston, Texas, the Miami Dolphins won their second consecutive NFL title by claiming victory over the Minnesota Vikings in Super Bowl VIII. The final score was Miami 24, Minnesota 7. The Super Bowl VIII most valuable player was bruising running back Larry Zonka of the Dolphins. January 13th, 2020, the Superdome in New Orleans. The national championship for college football took place as Heisman Trophy winner Joe Burrow and his teammates of the number one LSU Tigers were being tested by Trevor Lawrence and the rest of the Tigers of the number three Clemson team. LSU overpowered Clemson 42-15 to win the National College Playoff Championship in this battle of the Tigers.
Football history headline on two. Ready, break.
Now let's take a quick break from our headlines and let me remind you, you can learn more about gridiron history on our website, pigskindispatch.com. And you can contact me, Darren Hayes, at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from someone who's here, is one of my podcasting partners from the sportshistorynetwork.com that has a message just for you.
Hi, this is John Gidley. Join me each Friday for a trip into the football attic, where I'll delve into forgotten but noteworthy stories of the National Football League. You're bound to learn something new or have your memory jogged each week. That's every Friday, only on the Sports History Network and wherever podcasts are available.
Wichita, Wichita!
Now let's talk about those birthdays of the Hall of Famers, as we always do at this segment in the show. And January 13th holds some special ones. 1907, Sulphur Springs, Texas. Southern Methodist University stalwart quarterback Gerald Mann arrived into life. SMU's coach Ray Morrison wanted to have an explosive passing offense in the mid-1920s, and he figured a passing attack with a left-handed thrower would be really productive. Mann was right-handed, but he told Coach Morrison not to look any further, according to the NFF. Gerald spent the offseason learning how to toss a ball southpaw. The bio goes on to say that, according to Morrison, Mann completed a number of left-handed passes in crucial situations for SMU. Mann was pivotal in SMU's Southwest Conference title in 1926, when the team finished a regular season at 8-0-1. The tie was a 7-7 stalemate with Missouri. The truly versatile Gerald Mann was inducted by NFF voters into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1969. January 13, 1947, Cairo, Georgia. The defensive tackle Bill Stanfill of Georgia celebrated his arrival into the world. The National Football Foundation voters chose Bill Stanfill for induction into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1998. January 13, 1958, at Vero Beach, Florida. Florida A&M's outstanding guard Tyrone McGriff was born. The College Football Hall of Fame happily opened its doors wide to accept Tyrone McGriff into the Lodge of Collegiate Legends in 1996. Once again, we're thrilled and thankful that you joined us on this Football History Headlines for January 13th, and you heard all this great gridiron history. You can enjoy it every day on the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch podcast by clicking a subscribe button on your podcast player or going to your podcast provider and telling them that you want to listen to Pigskin Dispatch every single day. They'll let you do it. And you can also check us out at pigskindispatch@gmail.com and let us know that you want to get the daily email updates so that you can get the podcasts and our articles that are posted on pigskindispatch.com. Another way of doing it is going to the sportshistorynetwork.com, where this podcast and many more from my fellow podcasters and partners in the Sports History Network will bring you the sports history every single day. And we're not just covering football. We have all kinds of sports, and we have some very entertaining podcasters and some excellent guests on many of these programs. So make sure you check it out at the sportshistorynetwork.com and also look at us on the pigskindispatch.com. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Each week, the official Football Learning Academy podcast will take you deep into the history of pro football through interviews with players, coaches, or administrators in the NFL, as well as interviews with Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors, authors, and historians. You'll learn how the game evolved and important moments that shaped the sport into what it is today. And don't miss the Pro Football History Nugget of the Week. Listen to the official Football Learning Academy podcast on the Sports History Network.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.